Good morning, everybody. Wait a minute. I will open this. Okay. Thanks for coming to my presentation. My name is Rocío García Robles. I'm coming from the University of Seville at the south of Spain. I'm currently working as an assistant teacher at that university on computer science, but I studied also fine arts, and I'm currently doing my PhD thesis on the history of photography art. So that's the reason why I'm here. I hope you will find interesting my research. So my research, in my presentation, I will explain some of the issues I have addressed in my paper, but because I have only 20 minutes, and also, you know, there is a very, very famous proverb that says that the part reflects the whole, I have decided to select only some topics, and I will go into details on this part. But I already made the presentation, all the slides for the whole paper, although I only focus on the first one. Okay. What we will see is, or what I will try to explain to you, are some of the similarities that I found between the works of arts and art projects undertaken by artists using holography, and the main features of some relevant contemporary trends. But I want to clarify that I'm not trying to classify anybody or any work, but my aim is to find some clues in order to contextualize what your work in a contemporary art framework. Okay. I will analyze those similarities from four different approaches: lexical, syntactic, semantic, and pragmatic. Lexical is related to the art techniques and also to the information channel, while syntactic is more related to the network relationships between the lexical elements. The semantic is related to the possible meanings and interpretations. And finally, pragmatic is related to the influence of art on the social context. So the first two approaches, lexical and syntactic, are more related to the morphological issues, I mean to the visual appearance of the artworks. I have selected some art, contemporary art tendencies, the ones I consider are the most relevant in relation to the work made by artists using holography. And in fact, there are three groups of tendencies that I will analyze: neo-figurative tendencies, that includes pop art and superrealisms or photorealisms; neo-concrete and technological tendencies as op art, kinetic, and light art; and also conceptual art tendencies from the point of view of the postmodernist aesthetic, and also taking into account two tendencies in the conceptual art trend, the linguistic and the empirical medial. So first tendency I analyze is the pop-up tendency, and I have selected these pictures to try to explain to you that there are some syntactic and lexical similarities between the visual aesthetic of both works. You can recognize this is a very famous work by Andy Warhol, and holography work by John Kaufman. And in both of them, the use of high hue values in terms of the colors make them close from the visual aesthetic point of view. But in the case of holography, we have also the potential of exploring the dynamic interaction of colors. From the semantic point of view, it is more difficult to find coincidence between pop art and the work I have been studying, because I haven't found, maybe you can help me, I haven't found any hologram of an object that has been made with the purpose of trying to transform it in a social icon, as it was the purpose and the goal of many pop art artists, such as Andy Warhol. But it is easier to find artists using holography who had used objects for conceptual purposes, as we will see later on. So the second tendency I will explain to you is the super realisms or photorealisms. On one hand, from lexical and syntactic perspective, holography as a photographic media has been often used to reproduce the actual appearance of the recorded scene. But on the other hand, most of the works of art of the super realisms share with the holography images the paradox of looking so real, although they are not. So they are tricky, cheating the human sensory capacity concerning sight and tactile sense mainly. From a semantic point of view, it is easier to find, it is also easy to find a coincidence, because in super realisms, it is very usual to find social themes represented in the works. And there are many examples of holographic works with feminist, homosexual, ecological, and many other social perspectives. So I have included two images, one of the Margaret Bayon cosmetic series, of the female series, and also an installation related to the ecological theme by Philip Boissonnet. It's called Gaia. Okay. The third group of tendencies I will explain to you is the op art, kinetic, and light art. First of all, I want to say that from an historical point of view, it is possible to find references on the literature which connect holographic works with those tendencies. And in fact, I will tell you just three of them. Marchand Fitz is a professor, very famous in the Spanish literature, and he categorized holography as a type of lighting environment in his book, Del Arte Conceptual al Arte del Concepto. Another example is found in the book, The Art of the Electronic Age, is written by Frank Popper. The second chapter is devoted to what is called laser and holographic art. Finally, the most recent literature, relevant literature I have found connecting this tendency with the holographic work is the Holographic Network. It's a book edited by Dieter Jun, and in this book, this synergy is also analyzed. So I want also to say that, in fact, it's not easy to find literature on history of art that take into account holographic works. So these three are quite relevant ones. So on one hand, one of the immateriality can be considered as a linking feature in relation to the works, the holographic works, and also some artworks well known of these tendencies. But indeed, the immateriality, this characteristic justifies that some works are described as holographic while they are not. And we have two examples here. Paul Freelander's this picture is about a kinetic sculpture. He uses a string, rotating and projected images, and he got similar aesthetic to holographic images. And Hiro Yamagata This is a picture of one of his installations. Hiro Yamagata, sometimes he uses holographic surface, but he normally doesn't use the holographic in the sense we are talking here. This is something, this reflection has an important consequence, because from the pragmatic point of view, the society, and also we can see it in the science fiction literature, everything that looks evanescent and three-dimensional is called holographic. So this is a contribution also of this media, of this aesthetic, to the history of art. Okay. Moreover, there are artists of open art, kinetic and light art, such as Lubitsch, Building, Fran Malina, Bruce Nauman, Dan Flavin, that can be considered as predecessors who has inspired artists using holography media. And even some of them, for example, Bruce Nauman, we have a picture in the slide, who had been using holography media for experimental purposes. Those works of art makes us think, the works of art of this tendency make us think about another common syntactic issue, which is the need of a good lighting configuration as a key factor for getting the right visualization. An example of an explicit link between op art, kinetic art, and sound work made using holography is a work by Jacob Agan. It's a kinetic sculpture with a hologram at the top. In this case, Agan has been serving the aesthetic exploitation of what Frank Popper's called the perceptual absence of the image. So another interesting commonality is the preference for the geometric subjects by artists of these tendencies are holographic work. And some of the most outstanding artists who have been using holography for this type of research are, for example, Rudy Bergaud, Dieter Jung, or Marie-André Cosset. We have a picture also there. There are also some syntactic similarities between works of this tendency and holographic works. And in fact, in the literature, this work of art are described according to four types of movements: virtual chromatic movement, virtual interference movement, virtual temporal movement, and real temporal movement. So let's analyze all of them. The virtual chromatic movement is a characteristic of the chromatic and new abstraction tendency of the USA op art trend. And one example is Joseph Albers' work on the interaction of color. So the same type of chromatic dynamics can be explored using holography. In fact, one example is, for example, Dieter Jung's work. You can see also in the slides. Individual perception is conditioned in the case of holographic work by so many factors such as distance, height, lighting, angle, that it could be said that this virtual chromatic movement turns into a completely subjective personal experience. And this is also a contribution of the holographic media. The virtual interference movement, the second type of movement, is representative of the European of art tendency. And a good example of this type of movement can be found in Victor Vasarely or Jean-Pierre Iveral's work. In those types of work, virtual movement is devoted to the perception of the patterns in which the smallest single elements produce interference perception phenomena depending on the density of the and proximity of the elements. So we can find some experimental work undertaken by artists such as Iñaki Wittgenstein. Yesterday I discovered one good example about this in his work, in the exhibition. And also, for example, Dieter Jung is a good example. Dieter Jung also uses patterns as a conceptual expression of holdings and networking. The third kind of movement is the virtual temporal movement, and is characteristic of the human visual perception. It's related to the retina persistence principle, and it is the base for the cinematographic effects. In the case of the holograms, all the frames are safe normally in the same plate by virtue of the multi-channel property, as you already know. So this aesthetic resource has been widely used by the artist community using holography. Some of the stereograms we saw yesterday are a good example. I included a video, but I decided to keep it away. So, and the last movement is the real temporal movement, which is a main feature of the kinetic and light art tendencies. It is produced by the real movement of a physical objects or light bulbs or lasers, and in the case of holography, it can be produced by the movement of the holograms. A good example is this mobile. It's a work by Setsuko Ishii. Although it is a resource that has been used, it is more common to find holographic works in which the artists leave spectators to move themselves around the works, being then this concept more closely related to the previous type of movement, the virtual temporal movement. In these tendencies, many artists have been working with the domain of the space and the time domain, and this is something that it is also explored using the holography media. So a good example, we can find some example, for example, in Paula Dawson, Bayon and Gamble's or Gustav Hamus works, and we will discuss it later on. After reviewing all these artworks, it is possible to discern two main tendencies inside holography: abstract and realistic image in holography. Therefore, from the pragmatic point of view, we can conclude that holography is the only light media by means of which the figurative imaging based purely on light is being explored. And this fact could be considered an original contribution of holography to the history of visual art. One proof of that is the fact I was explaining before. The term holography is used for any kind of advanced and three-dimensional imaging, and also, more or less, that's the conclusion. The abstract holography tendency is closer related to the morphological features of the representative artworks of op art, kinetic and light art. I have included in the slide one example of the realistic trends and of the abstract trends, one by Martin Richardson and the other by Rudy Bergaud. I have more information in my paper about that. Okay, so let's continue with the last group of tendency, the conceptual art tendency. An interesting link between conceptual art features and the holographic aesthetic is again the immateriality, because in fact some theoreticians like Vicente Carretón or Peter Seck had used this argument for justifying the potentiality of holography media in relation to the postmodern aesthetic. Nevertheless, there are some issues that must be considered concerning the two main tendencies inside the conceptual art. There are two main tendencies: the linguistic tendency and the empiric medial tendency. So from the linguistic tendency perspective, the hologram couldn't be described as purely immaterial. because due to the material essence of the hologram of the player of the film. But even on the case of the most radical linguistic tendency, complete dematerialization is impossible, because even the written or the spoken words are cultural objects, are perceptive and have an inputted meaning. So that's the main reason for arguing that the convenience of describing the holographic conceptual works as closer related to the empirical medial tendency, far from the tautological reflection of the linguistic tendency. The empirical medial tendency does not advocate on the complete dematerialization of the work, but it replaces it by refusing the traditional physicality of the object in favor of a more immaterialized forms of energy. And probably you will agree with me that there is no more other dematerialized energy than the light itself, which is the essence of a holographic image. So therefore, materiality is, to conclude, materiality is reduced to the support in the case of the holography media, and it is the self-reference of light per se what makes holography an especially suitable media for conceptual artworks. Also, the empirical medial tendency is characterized by interdisciplinarity and intermediality. And this is something that is very usual also in holographic works. We have some examples here by Doris Miller, Pascal Gouchet, Sally Weber, and Melissa Crenshaw. Okay, conceptual works are also characterized because it demands new means of elaboration. Photography, cinema, video, and computer are the media more often used, but holography is a media as good as any other for surveying the spatial and temporal domains and the conceptual research. In this slide, I have included some examples of conceptual works, holographic conceptual works. But after what I said before, I think the strongest connection between conceptual art and the work by some artists who have been using holography is the art project itself. We have good examples in these works. I will not explain in detail. But in my paper, I explain something about CAC work on holopoetry and Bajon and Gamble works on bibliomancy. It is also remarkable the use of daily life objects in their work, as you can see here, in the contextualization exercise, which seems to be very contemporary, but at the same time, historically connected to Duchamp, ready-mades, or even to Andy Warhol's bridge books. For example. So concerning postmodern aesthetic, it is possible to find examples of the use of appropriateness, fragmentation, and deconstruction, which are characteristic of the postmodern aesthetic in holographic work. In my paper, I compare, for example, the contextualization exercise made by Troy Brauntuch in this piece of the Third Reich, or Men in the City by Robert Longo, the appropriateness exercise made by Richard Prince in his Marlborough series, and I compared to Patrick Boyce and Gustav Hamus and also David Pisanelli work, because they use real life images and they decontextualize them to input them new meaning. And finally, as the last example on appropriateness and deconstruction, I compare, for example, Louis Lawler arrangements artwork with Paolo Dawson's work to The Absent Friends. Lawler made pictures of artworks placed at the indoors of museums and other less glamorous locations, involving the spectator in the reflection of the museum strategies, which enable or disable those artworks to be idolized by the general public. On Dawson case, the theme of memory, virtually lodged in a specific architecture, happens very frequently in her work. So the bar, we can see here, is in some ways an attempt to be able to visualize the relationship between memory object, present and past in a visual way. These are the author's work. Okay, so Dawson and Lawler are both trying to confront the spectator with familiar situations, looking for the spectator's further reflections. Dawson uses appropriateness, fragmentation, and simulation to enhance her conceptual purposes. Finally, the conclusion, I have made a short review about some outstanding features of the most related contemporary art tendencies. And in the rest of my paper, I analyze also, I compare holography media with other media, and also I contextualize holography in the digital age framework. So my purpose has been to document the artist's aesthetic reflections about their own work, as well as to contextualize the possibilities of holography in relation to the dynamic nature of contemporary art. Okay, thanks a lot. Just one more thing. I want to tell you that you can't imagine how much I enjoyed yesterday. Even I didn't eat anything because I had the chance to see all these holograms that I didn't see. I only saw them on internet. So I want to thank you, Jonathan Ross, Martin Richardson, and all the organizers and the artists for giving me these opportunities. And also I want to take the chance to ask the artists for further collaboration in order to get a better picture of your actual motivations and artistic approaches. I don't want to disturb you too much, so I will give you my card, and if you allow me, I will write you an email and ask you further about your work because I'm very interested. To thank you also publicly to Dr. Sven Joran because he gave me the chance to make a practical work in the University of Lund last year. So thanks a lot.